și motivare cât.
We're fortunate. I'm sorry if I repeat some of the things I said yesterday. We're very fortunate. There's no understanding how fortunate we are to have been introduced to the worship of Sri Radha Krishna. We're being trained up for the service of Radha Krishna. This is Prabhupada's intention. This is what he established the society for, to collect from this fallen world the servants of Radha and Krishna, and to engage them again in their service. And Prabhupada is doing this to fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You may say that we don't have Radha Krishna on our altar, but that's a serious mistake. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna himself combined. We're worshipping Gaur Nitai, but by that we're worshipping Radha Krishna. Even if we don't consider Lord Chaitanya, we don't think about Lord Chaitanya as combined Vigraha. Lord Chaitanya's mood, his manifest mood, even if we don't delve into his secret identity, is to worship Radha and Krishna. So if you have any interest in the activities, you're not just like my wife's father doesn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, but he's attracted to the form of Lord Gauranga. That's the one deity he likes. The other ones he can't understand. But he doesn't know who Gauranga is. So even if we don't understand the identity of the secret identity of Lord Chaitanya, if we just look at his public activity, he's preaching the worship of Radha and Krishna. He's chanting Hare Krishna. Well, what is chanting Hare Krishna? That is the worship of Krishna with Radha. So we're so fortunate to have been introduced to this. Not just introduced, but we're formally initiated into the practice of becoming prepared to actually enter the service of Radha and Krishna. It doesn't mean, unlike the propaganda of other groups, it doesn't mean we're all slated to become Manjaris. And those who won't become Manjaris, we're not interested in. That's not our program. That's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program, and it's not Krishna's program. Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the embodiment of all the rasas, not only the Manjari Bhava. And he wants to have a variety of devotees in all different relationships. And therefore, we've been created with different sarupas, different sthayi bhavas. And not everybody is meant to become a Madhurya Rasa Bhakta. It's not intended, and it's not your built-in sarupa. Still, we are all servants of Radha and Krishna. Because everybody in Vrindavan is serving Radha and Krishna and contributing to the pleasure of their pastimes. In whatever relationship they as individuals have with Krishna, they are servants of Srimati Radharani. That is the proper attitude for us. Servants of Radharani, not to pretend prematurely or artificially that we've become Manjaris. Maybe someday some of us will. But we all are servants of Krishna, especially since we're working in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the intimate service of Radha and Krishna. I'll speak more about that later. But we're so fortunate that we have been allowed to understand God in his most intimate, confidential aspect. Enjoying with his pleasure potency. God is the supreme enjoyer. Rasa Bihari. The enjoyer of these rasas, and the most intimate rasa. The conjugal rasa with his pleasure potency. There's many people in the world, the majority of the people in the world, have a concept of God. They have religion. They worship God. They have some understanding of God, but God in some other form. God is Narayana. God is Jehovah, as Allah. To understand God as Radha Krishna is the most rare, fortunate blessing to be given that insight and to be initiated into their worship. We're so fortunate. Srimati Radharani is Krishna's potency for enjoyment. She exists only for his pleasure. This is the most perfect devotion. The essence of the Vaikuntha atmosphere is prema, and the essence of prema is called Mahabhava, in which the devotee has no selfish intentions at all, is only living and existing for Krishna's pleasure. This Mahabhava is fully embodied only in Srimati Radharani. If anybody else has some of it, it's a reflection of her love. She has no other intention to do anything except for to make Krishna happy. And this appearance of a male-female sexual relationship between the two of them should not be misunderstood as anything material. There is no selfish desire for pleasure and ego gratification, no inebriation in it. Both Krishna and the gopis only want the other's happiness, have no intention to achieve anything for themselves. This is pure love. This is actual understanding of what is Madhurya Rasa, that you have no selfish intention at all. The glories of Srimati Radharani are described by the great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we can only understand when we have the Adhikar. Raghunuga practice involves meditating constantly on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and on their qualities. But there are prerequisites, or there's one main prerequisite before one should enter into Raghunuga Bhakti. It is called Lobha, greed, but it is not material greed. Prabhupada explains it, that it a symptom of that greed is that you have no more material sex desire. You're not trying to be the male or maybe the female enjoyer. When we have come to that stage, we can properly enter into the Raghunuga practice of constant meditation. And we can read the intimate poetry of Raghunath Das and others with understanding. And fully appreciate the glories of Srimati Radhika. Until then, we have to be careful not to take it cheaply, because we still have a taste for material sense gratification. We still have some desire to be the enjoyers. Therefore, we're not ready to fully appreciate Krishna's transcendental enjoyment with his pleasure potency. But we can take what Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada has translated the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Krishnadas Kaviraj does describe the glories of Srimati Radharani. Particularly the chapter 8 of Madhya Leela, there is the narration of the conversations between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, in which Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Rai to teach him or to tell him what is the essence of spiritual life. And Lord Chaitanya is prodding him to go higher and higher. So in the course of the discussion, Ramananda Rai describes the glories of Sri Radhika. Let me read right from it. This is beginning with verse 151 of the Madhya Leela chapter 8. Eto samshepe kohilo Krishna swarupo
Ebe samshepe kohi shunarada tatvarupo.
Sri Ramananda Rai then said, I have thus briefly explained the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now let me describe the position of Srimati Radharani.
Krishna Ananta Shakti Tate Teen Pradhan Chit Shakti Maya Shakti Jiva Shakti Nam.
Krishna has unlimited potencies, which can be divided into three main parts. These are the spiritual potency, the material potency, and the marginal potency, which is known as the living entities.
Antaramba Bahiramba Tatasta Kohiyari Antaramba Swarup Shakti Shobar Upare.
In other words, these are all potencies of God, internal, external, and marginal. But the internal potency is the Lord's personal energy and stands over the other two.
Vishnu Shakti Parapukta Kritragyakya Tatapara Avidya Karma Samgyanya Tritiya Shaktir Ishyate.
The original potency of Lord Vishnu is superior or spiritual, and the living entity actually belongs to the superior energy. But there is another energy called the material energy, and this third energy is full of ignorance. This is a quotation, purport. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 6.7.61.
Satchidanandamoy Krishna Swarupa Ota Eva Swarupa Shakti Hoy Tina Rupa.
Originally, Lord Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, the transcendental form of eternally blissed in knowledge. Therefore, his personal potency, the internal potency, has three different forms.
Anandam she kladini, sadam she sandini, chiram se somvit yare gyana purimani.
Kladini is his aspect of bliss. Sandini, of eternal existence. And somvit, of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge.
Ladini sandini samvit tvayeka sarva samshraye lada tapakari mishra tvayeno guna varjite.
My dear Lord, you are the transcendental reservoir of all transcendental qualities, your pleasure potency, existence potency, and knowledge potency are actually all one internal spiritual potency. The conditioned soul, although actually spiritual, sometimes experiences pleasure, sometimes pain, and sometimes a mixture of pain and pleasure. This is due to his being touched by matter. But because you are above all material qualities, these are not found in you. Your superior spiritual potency is completely transcendental. And for you, there is no such thing as relative pleasure, pleasure mixed with pain, or pain itself. Purport, this is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 1.12.69.
Krishna ke akhlade tate nama akhladini. Se shakti dware sukha ashvade aponi.
The potency called Kladini gives Krishna transcendental pleasure. Through this pleasure potency, Krishna personally tastes all spiritual pleasure.
Sukha rupa Krishna kore sukha ashvadana.
Bhaktagoneshu kadite gladini karano. Lord Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness. Although he himself is happiness personified, the pleasure relished by his pure devotees is also manifested by his pleasure potency. Ladinir sara omsha tara premonam ananda chinmaya rasa premir akyan. The most essential part of this pleasure potency is love of Godhead, prema. Consequently, the explanation of love of Godhead is also a transcendental mellow, full of pleasure. Premera paramoshar mahabhava jani she mahabhava rupa radha takurani. The essential part of love of Godhead is called mahabhava, a transcendental ecstasy. And that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. Tayorap yubayor madye radhika sarvatadika mahabhava swarupeyam gunairati variyasi. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and another gopi are considered chief. But when we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. The ecstasy of love experienced by other gopis cannot be compared to that of Srimati Radharani. Purport. This is a quotation from Sri Rupa Goswami's Ujjwala Nilamani, Radha Prakarana number 3. Premer Swarup Deho Prema Vibhavita Krishna Krishnera Prayasi Shrestha Jagate Vidita. The body of Srimati Radharani is a veritable transformation of love of Godhead. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna, and this is known throughout the world. Ananda chinmaya rasa pati bhavitabhis tabirya eja nijarupataya kalabihi goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto govindam adi purusham dhamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. Purport. This is a quotation from the Brahma Samhita, 537. She mahabhava hoy chintamani shar Krishna vancha purna kore kariyatam. That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. Mahabhava Chintamani Radha Swarupa Lalita Di Sokhi Tamra Kaya Vyuha Rupa. Srimati Radharani is the topmost spiritual gem, and the other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, and so on, are expansions of her spiritual body. Radha prati Krishna sneha sugandhi udvartono tate ati sugandhi deha ujvala varnana.
Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental fragrances. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. Purport. Sugandhi Udvartana refers to a paste made of several perfumes and fragrant oils. This paste is massaged all over the body, and in this way the body's dirt and perspiration are removed. Srimati Radharani's body is automatically perfumed, but when her body is massaged with the scented paste of Lord Krishna's affection, her entire body is doubly perfumed and made brilliant and lustrous. This is the beginning of Krishnadas Kaviraj's description of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. This description, found in verses 165 to 181, is based on a book by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami known as Premambhoja Maranda. Karunyamrita Dadai Snana Pratam Tarunyamrita Dadai Snana Majamo. Srimati Radharani takes her first bath in the shower of the nectar of compassion, and she takes her second bath in the nectar of youth. Purport. Srimati Radharani first smears her body with the paste of Krishna's affection for her. She then takes her bath in the water of mercy. After passing the Pauganda age from 5 to 10 years, Srimati Radharani first appears as mercy. The second bath is taken at noon in the water of Tarunyamrita, or the nectar of youth. This is the actual expression of her new youthfulness. Lavanyamrita dharai taruparisnan nija lajja shyama potashati puridan. After her midday bath, Radharani takes another bath in the nectar of bodily luster, and she puts on the garment of shyness, which is her black silk sari. Purport. Over and above the other baths, the bath taken in the afternoon is taken in the nectar of full beauty. This nectar represents the personal qualities of beauty and luster. Thus, there are three baths in different kinds of water. Radharani then puts on two garments, a lower and an upper garment. The upper garment is pinkish and is her affection and attraction for Krishna. And the lower garment, a blackish silk sari, is her shyness. Krishna anuraga dvitiya arunavasham pranayamana kanchu kalikai voksha acharano. Srimati Radharani's affection for Krishna is her upper garment, which is pinkish in color. She then covers her breasts with another garment composed of affection and anger toward Krishna. Saundarya kumkuma shaki pranaya chandana smita kanti karpura tine anga vilepana. Srimati Radharani's personal beauty is the reddish powder known as kumkuma. Her affection for her associates is sandalwood pulp, and the sweetness of her smile is camphor. All these combined together are smeared over her body. Krishner ujvala rasha migamada pora she migamade vichitvita kolevara. Conjugal love for Krishna is an abundance of musk, and with that musk her whole body is decorated. Pachanaman vamya dummila vinyasa dira dira mapaguna omnipotovasho, craftiness and covered anger constitute the arrangement of her hair. The quality of anger due to jealousy is the silk garment covering her body. Raga tambula rage aurora ujwala prema kautilya netra jugale kajala. Her attachment for Krishna is the reddish color of betel nuts on her brilliant lips. Her double dealings in loving affairs constitute the black ointment around her eyes. Sudipta sattvika bhava harshadi sanchari eshob bhava bhushana shob ange bhari. The ornaments decorating her body are the blazing ecstasies of goodness and the constantly existing ecstasies. Headed by jubilation, all these ecstasies are the ornaments all over her body. Kila kinchitari bhava vimshati bhushita punashrini pushpamala sarvange purita. Translation. Also ornamenting her body are the 20 kinds of ecstatic symptoms, beginning with kila kinchita. Her transcendental qualities constitute the flower garland hanging in fullness over her body. Purport. The 20 different moods headed by Kila Kinchita are described as follows. First, in connection with the body, there are bhava, ecstasy, hava, gestures, and hela, negligence. In relation to the self, there are shobha, beauty, Kanti, luster, and Deepti, brilliance, Madhurya, sweetness, Pragalbata, impudence, Audharya, magnanimity, and Dhairya, patience. And in relation to nature, there are Lila, pastimes, Vilasa, enjoyment, Vichitti, breaking off, and Vibharma, puzzlement. There are no English equivalents for the words kilikinshita, mochaita, and kutomita. Srimati Radharani's flower garland consists of her qualities and is divided into mental, verbal, and bodily parts. Her attitude of forgiveness and mercy is all mental. Her talks, which are very pleasing to the ear, are verbal. The bodily qualities are age, beauty, luster, and grace. Saubhagya tilaka charu lalate ujvala prema vaichitya ratna vidaya torolo. The tilaka of good fortune is on her beautiful broad forehead. Her various loving affairs are a gem, and her heart is her locket. Madhyavoyasa sakishkande karanyas Krishna Lila Manovriti Shaki Asha Pasha. Srimati Radharani's gopi friends are her mental activities, which are concentrated on the pastimes of Sri Krishna. She keeps her hand on the shoulder of a friend who represents youth. Purport. Radharani's eight companions, Ashta Shaki, are different varieties of pleasure connected with the pastimes of Krishna. Following those pastimes of Sri Krishna are other activities which are represented by the assistance of the gopis. Dijamba soda balaye garva paryanka tate voshi ache soda chinte Krishna sanga. Srimati Radharani's bed state is pride herself, pride itself, and it is situated in the abode of her bodily aroma. She is always seated there, thinking of Krishna's association. Krishna nama guna yosho avatam sakani Krishna nama guna yasha pravaha vachane. Srimati Radharani's earrings are the name, fame, and qualities of Lord Krishna. The glories of Lord Krishna's name, fame, and qualities are always inundating her speech. Krishna ke karai shama rasa madhupan nirantara purna kore krishner sarvakam. Srimati Radharani induces Krishna to drink the honey of the conjugal relationship. She is therefore engaged in satisfying all the lusty desires of Krishna. Krishner vishuddha prema ratnir akaro anupama guna gana purna kalevara. Srimati Radharani is a mine filled with valuable jewels of love for Krishna. Her transcendental body is complete with unparalleled spiritual qualities. Ka Krishnasya Pranaya Janibu Srimati Radhikaika Kasya Prayasya Nupamaguna Radhikaika Nachanya Jaihmyam Keshe Dvishita Valata Nishturatvam Kuchesya Vancha Purtyai Prabhavati Hari Radhikaika Nachanya. If one asks about the origin of love of Krishna, the answer is that the origin is Srimati Radharani alone. Who is the most dear friend of Krishna? The answer again is Srimati Radharani alone. Jai Shri Radha Shyama Sundari. No one else. Srimati Radharani's hair is very curly. Her two eyes are always moving to and fro, and her breasts are firm. Since all transcendental qualities are manifest in Srimati Radharani, she alone is able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. No one else. Anybody know where that's from? Purport. This is a quotation from Sri Govinda Lilamrita, 11.122 by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. It is a verse in the form of questions and answers describing the glories of Srimati Radharani. Yamra saubhagya guna vanche satyabhama Yamra tani kala vilasha shike rajarama Yamra saundaryadi guna vanche lakshmi parvati Yamra pativrata dharma vanche arundati. Even Satyabhama, one of the queens of Sri Krishna, desires the fortunate position and excellent qualities of Srimati Radharani. All the gopis learn the art of dressing from Srimati Radharani. And even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the wife of Lord Shiva, Parvati, desire her beauty and qualities. Indeed, Arundhati, the celebrated chaste wife of Vasishtha, also wants to imitate the chastity and religious principles of Srimati Radharani. Yara sadguna gonone Krishna napai par tara guna gomibe kimone jiva char. Even Lord Krishna himself cannot reach the limit of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. How then can an insignificant living entity count them? That's Srila Prabhupada's translation of this section from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Description here of the bodily features of Srimati Radharani manifesting her ecstasies. In the spiritual world, there's no difference between the body and the possessor of the body. And therefore, in general, your external appearance in the spiritual world is a direct reflection of your mentality.
So the bhavas are directly manifested in the form. But Srimati Radharani, everything that she does and exhibits is for Krishna's pleasure only. We are dedicated, by Srila Prabhupada's choice, into the service of Srimati Radharani. This is the purpose of our existence, the service of not alone, the service of Radha and Krishna. If someone is going to become a certain kind of manjari that only only thinks about serving Radharani, okay, that may be your sarupa, maybe. But while we're still practicing, the mood of this movement, ISKCON, is the combined service of Radha and Krishna together. Okay, we give equal importance. We put them on the altar together. Prabhupada considered it contrary to the mood of ISKCON to be worshipping Radharani separately. We shouldn't have a separate image on the altar. We shouldn't go on for 15 minutes just chanting Radhe, 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 like some do. That's okay, but it's not the mood of our sampradaya. In your Raghunuga practice, you may develop in some other direction, but for now, we worship Radha and Krishna always together. So we're dedicated to the service of the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, in some capacity. Our sarupa may ultimately be something else. And anyway, we don't know what our sarupa is now in any case. And we're still full of material contamination. But Prabhupada has arranged for us and many others to be engaged in the intimate service of Radha and Krishna. How is that? Because Srila Prabhupada knows what those inner desires are, and he has sold his whole life out to the fulfillment of those inner desires. He doesn't do anything. Prabhupada never did anything that was not for the fulfillment of the innermost desires of Radha and Krishna, including what he did after he came to America, the establishment and organization of ISKCON. It was not organized as a money-making organization to build big buildings and collect a lot of money and followers, or even to print a lot of books just as a business. It's not a business. The only business of ISKCON is the fulfillment of the intimate desires of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada established particular programs that are particularly dear, or particularly in pursuit of the fulfillment of those inner desires. We all know the gopis, in the midst of their ecstasy of separation from Krishna after the rasa dance, they glorified the preachers of Krishna consciousness. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kaviviriditam kalna shapanam shravana mangalam Srimadavatam Bhuvi Grinanti Ye Buddhita Jana. They are the most auspicious, munificent workers. The devotees who travel in this world to preach your glories. Prabhupada did that. He traveled around the world. He left India, came to the terrible cities of the West, picked up us from the gutter, and engage us in the intimate service in Radha and Krishna. I say intimate because the particular prime activities of ISKCON are intimate service of Radha and Krishna. The preaching work is intimate service, and preaching in various forms, but especially most important in the form of the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. ISKCON books are the basis, but not just any books. You know, the Harvard University Library has 9 million books. But we're not talking about just all of those books. Books are the basis, means Prabhupada's books are the basis. The basis on which the world will be saved. The Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, as presented and revealed by Srila Prabhupada. These books will change the world. And therefore, Prabhupada, we have to be completely ignorant of who Prabhupada was and what he did and what he said, to not know that how much emphasis he put on the distribution of his books. To try to argue that away is foolishness and rascaldom. To try to present a Prabhupada who wasn't first of all emphasizing the distribution of his books. That's not the real Prabhupada, if that's your idea. That he first of all wanted us to do something else. When every single person in the world has all of Prabhupada's books, then we can replace it with some other first prime activity. So this and the establishment of centers of Krishna consciousness, temples, devotee communities, ashrams, the distribution of Krishna's prasadam in the temples and in restaurants, these were Prabhupada's primary activities. Of course, getting people to chant Hare Krishna. But the books, the temples, the devotee communities, the prasadam distribution, these are for the purpose of getting people to chant Krishna's names and to become Krishna's devotees. These are the prime activities. Those who engage, who dedicate their lives to the distribution of Prabhupada's books, to the organization and maintenance of the devotee communities around the world and the centers of Krishna consciousness. Those who also promote prasadam distribution, at least the way Prabhupada wanted it. They are all engaging in fulfilling Prabhupada's intentions, which are intentions based on the inner desires of Radha and Krishna, the ecstasy that they enjoy should be experienced by all the fallen conditioned souls, that the world should be delivered and be given pure Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada established the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. We're officially a department of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Prabhupada said, is my heart. This is the business corporation established mainly for the publication and the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. The devotees in the temples can sell the books, but the BBT has to provide the books and get them to the temples. That's the BBT's business. I was very fortunate to be working for the BBT for 10 or 12 years. Well, I've been working for the BBTs, but I mean in the early years when Prabhupada was still writing his books, and they were being published for the first time. It was obvious to all of us that this was a very intimate service for Prabhupada, that it was actually doing something substantial to help save the world. Prabhupada made a comment once to devotee who's not with us anymore. He was head of the Sanskrit department. Prabhupada commented to him that all the boys and girls who work on the editing and proofreading of my books, they will all become great devotees. Because having to scrutinize the Bhagavatam and the Gita so intensely in the process of proofreading and editing, that's a very deep meditation on Krishna. Anyway, he made the point that BBT's very potent connection with Krishna. So unfortunately, those days are gone. Prabhupada's books are already published, and the BBT in America is reprinting Prabhupada's books when necessary, but that's handled by a small staff. Dravida Prabhu and a few others are doing that. We are publishing some new books. Of course, books are being translated into all other languages around the world, and there are divisions of the BBT doing that. And then there are some new publications. Unfortunately, they're not written by Prabhupada, but they're still carrying on Prabhupada's mission that all these books be published. Unfortunately, when I joined, we were starting to publish the fourth canto. Unfortunately, all the cantos are now published. So I can't give all of you the opportunity to experience the same exact thing of working to to actually bring out Prabhupada's books. But we are connected with the BBT. This is a BBT function. This program is existing for the service of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And in the future, we'll have the opportunity to engage in this public publishing work. Just like I've experienced personally, that working in Govinda's restaurant, I did it for a few days in Honolulu. I did pakoras, but I also did the grilled cheese sandwiches. I didn't mind that because there was a rule: if the sandwich was a minute late, it could not be served to the customer. If it got cold for 1 minute, if it was a minute off the skillet, it was unacceptable for giving to the customers. So unfortunately, I had to eat those leftover sandwiches, the ones that were too late. And the pakoras that were cold, you know, I didn't mind that. But beside that, it was even just being in the back in the kitchen, frying pakoras or making sandwiches on the grill. It was so ecstatic because, you could sense that this is all going directly to someone's stomach to make him into a devotee of Krishna. Even though I wasn't even in the front seeing the customers or interacting with them, it was so ecstatic to be involved in that activity. So the same thing with being involved in publishing books that are going to deliver the world. You're not out on the street selling the books, but that's not the same rasa. I won't say it's exactly equivalent to book distribution, but it's another very special intimate rasa to publish those books. So unfortunately, if you want to participate in that, you're going to have to write the books. The Prabhupada's books are already published. The purpose of this program is to train up translators and editors to produce new books. This will take time. Even if we could sit down now and translate the books, we don't have anybody ready to edit them. It will take time. So eventually we'll be able to taste this rasa of book publication. We're not here just to study grammar. The grammar, we're promoting that so that we can do service for Prabhupada and help Prabhupada fulfill the intimate intentions of Srimati Radharani, of Radha and Krishna. This is intimately connected. If we pursue it in strict allegiance to Prabhupada's plans and intentions, then it's a very intimate service. Even what we're doing now, it's preparation. Maybe you'll become directly involved in translating, editing, and book publication, or maybe you'll go teach somebody else, or go preach. But in any case, you're preparing to do the intimate service of Prabhupada's mission. There's a connection there. This is the service of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada has given us an opportunity that the Babaji's don't have. They're trying to practice Raghunatha Bhakti, and they're dressed for the occasion. But we have a better opportunity, much better. And working for the BBT, you don't even have to lug a heavy bag out on the street and break your back. You can sit at your desk and experience participating in the fulfillment of Prabhupada's intimate intentions. Okay, Hare Krishna. You want to discuss something? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Just a small quotation from Prabhupada to continue the same language you've been talking about. This is Madhya Lila 19.132, and that's a very important passage of his purpose. He says, It is certainly not good to write literature for money reputation, but to write books and publish them for the enlightenment of the general populace is real service to the Lord. That was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's opinion, and he specifically told his disciples to write books. He actually preferred to publish books rather than establishing temples. Temple construction is meant for the general populace and neophyte devotees, but the business of advanced and empowered devotees is to write books, publish them, and distribute them widely. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, distributing literature is like playing on a great mridanga. Consequently, we always request members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to publish as many books as possible and distribute them widely throughout the world. By thus following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, one can become a Rupanuga devotee. That's what Rupanuga means, because there are some different notions about what Rupanuga really means, and this very clear definition of Prabhupada's mission is Rupanuga mission.
Prabhupada's claiming that we've got Rupanuga Bhakti. We don't have to go somewhere else to find it.
Rupa Goswami came out of his samadhi and told Prabhupada that he was empowered to preach, and Rupa Goswami would be right behind him wherever he would go, and he would give all his blessings for his mission. Probably that's a deeper meaning of what Rupanuga is meant by Prabhupada here as well.
Rupa Goswami is following him.
I mean, maybe not following him, but you know, supporting him in all his...
Wow. Thank you. I'm sorry, the gentleman?
One of the reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is the Antaranga, which is consists of three desires Krishna wanted to fulfill, which basically comes down to relishing the Radharani's love, understanding the glory of her love, purity of her love, happiness she experiences by tasting Krishna, and so on. And there is a external reason, which is preaching of Yuga Dharma, and so on. So how these two reasons are same and how they are different?
The external and the internal?
And internal. How they are non-different and how they are different.
It's a mystery. Even to have that idea is a special insight. It's not obvious that they're the same. And how they're the same is, I wouldn't know how to explain. I can just show the example of Srila Prabhupada's preaching, and before him Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's activities. These are, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an intimate servant of Srimati Radharani, more intimate than almost anybody else on the face of the planet. And yet, in his external activities, he was a vigorous preacher and a vigorous critic of all sorts of hypocrisy and pretense. We see in these personalities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Prabhupada, we see it, I don't know how to explain it, but we can see in their personalities the fusion of the internal and external purposes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, this is a different dichotomy, but he says that in the first verse of the Chaitanya Chandramrita, if I can remember it, Ativi Maryada Parama, the words before, he's the most audarya. Atyaudarya. He's the most generous, liberal. And at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extremely strict about the proper maintenance of religious principles. So he's got these dualities in him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's generous to give, you know, the gift of love of God to anyone, even those who don't deserve it. And at the still time, he demands strict allegiance and fidelity and proper behavior. So like that kind of dichotomy, he's got his secret inner purposes and he's got his public purpose of you know, simply preaching Nam Sankirtan. But they're not different. The chanting of the Krishna's name is not just an external activity for the conditioned souls. Some Vaishnavas think that. The chanting Hare Krishna is for the grihasthas, and the sannyasis can chant Omkara. But actually, the chanting of Krishna's names, actual Sankirtan, done in love, is among the most intimate services. And the gopis themselves are engaged in that chanting. They don't have to. They don't have to perform any sadhana. They have direct access to Krishna. They can serve him in person. They don't have to just chant his names. They can have him. But they're chanting his names constantly. So the external activity of Nam Sankirtan and the inner activity of the intimate service of Radha and Krishna are really non-different. And the dichotomy, and in the personality of Srila Prabhupada, we see to the extreme manifested that the activity of, which is very suited to people in the mode of passion, to going out in the street and selling books. My father worked for a while as an Encyclopedia Britannica salesman. You know, to be a door-to-door salesman is an activity in the straight, hardcore mode of passion. It's for passionate people. Could we take, we go, you know, recruit the residents of Radhakund and send them out, you know, in Times Square to distribute books? How many of them could do it, even if we paid them a lot of money? They can't do it. It takes a passionate nature to be able to go out on these city streets and stop materialistic people and sell them the books. So it's a very passionate activity, and it's meant for people who've got a lot of passion. At the same time, it's the intimate service of Radha and Krishna selling those books. So in Prabhupada, what he manifested, he took the Sankirtan and redefined it as selling books. So now in ISKCON, when I joined in 1970, the end of 72, Sankirtan still meant going out and chanting in the streets. But because book distribution was becoming so much prominent, it usurped the title Sankirtan. Going on Sankirtan meant go out and sell books. And if you wanted to sing in the streets, you called that Harinam instead. That, I think that's pretty much the vocabulary is gone now. Harinam means going out in the street to sing. And Sankirtan means going, pronounced Sankirtan, means selling books. Prabhupada redefined the Vaishnava vocabulary because it's non-different. This is the Bhrigu Danga. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati understood it, that you can bang your drum, but it can only be heard two blocks away. But the book, the potency of the book, is seen all over the world. I had to leave Tokyo because I didn't have the strength to stay there. I left Tokyo. Srila Kumara Raj brought me there. I stayed only 1 week, and I had to go home. You know, that was my Maya. But on the way home, we stopped. I was in the Tokyo airport waiting to go home, and I went there at 6 p.m. The flight was 5 in the morning, so I slept in the airport on the floor, and I was woken by a conversation at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was two soldiers talking to each other, who had just flown in from Seoul, Korea, or Alaska, or someplace, and said, you know, I got this strange book from somebody in the Alaska or Seoul, Korea airport, and it was Prabhupada's second piano. You know, the books go all over the world and change, you know, and create devotees all over the world. So, I'm sorry, I'm digressing, but this is, I don't know how you can explain it, but this is the concrete example of the fusion of the internal purposes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his internal purposes. The preaching and the intimate service of Radha and Krishna are combined in the personalities of Prabhupada and his two predecessors. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
We are not completely studied this Bhagavatam, although the Prabhupada gave instruction that we will do this translation work. This Bhagavatam, complete Bhagavatam. But still we are not studying this Bhagavatam, only till 10th canto, 13th chapter. Why we are not studying?
Why are we not studying the rest of it? I'm sorry. It's not that there shouldn't be any study of the rest of the Bhagavatam. That's not our policy. But the reason why I decided that we should jump back to the first canto in our morning classes and my class at 10 o'clock is that we're in danger, because of the nature of our program, to de-emphasize Prabhupada, because we're reading other things. We're reading the Acharyas, we're reading things in the original Sanskrit, and we spend a lot of time reading things other than Prabhupada's books. So I want to make sure there's an adequate emphasis on Prabhupada's presentation. Therefore, I think we should read Prabhupada's purports in the morning. Those who have not read the rest of the BBT's Bhagavatam should do it after lunch. And we can even organize this. If someone wants a seminar, it can be organized. The rest of the Bhagavatam. But I think our morning class should give the time to Prabhupada speaking, because we don't give enough time to Prabhupada speaking during the day.
Shall we study this complete Bhagavatam with purport?
I'm sorry?
Shall we study?
Yes. Everybody should have done it before they joined the course. Should have read Prabhupada's entire Bhagavatam once. We've been liberal about it, but you should make up for it. If you haven't read all of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, I mean all of the whole 12 cantos, then do it at least once. If you have to stay up an extra hour every night to do it, do it and get it done. Yes, sir.
The short illustration, since we're talking about Prabhupada's understanding of his mission, a short excerpt from his letter to Nandalal. He says, the explanation, answering Nityananda Prabhu's question, the explanation given by Rameshwara that Sankirtana is Lord Chaitanya's Lila, which he compares to the gopis trying to engage others in Krishna's service, is the correct understanding.
Prabhupada.
Yes, what he says. Sankirtana is gopis trying to engage everybody in Krishna's service. That's how it combines.
Yes.
So, Prabhu, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire was like this for two reasons, and also like Bhakti Siddhanta and Prabhupada Maharaj established this mission, Sankirtan movement, and everything is going on still now. So, why this Prabhupada mission is only for 10,000 years? Not forever like this. This Kali Yuga is existing for 32,000 years.
Okay. Kali Yuga is going to go on for 327,000 years. Why is Prabhupada's mission only going to carry on for 10,000 years? Lord Chaitanya, that's his Leela. Prabhupada's Leela is within Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Okay. Prabhupada isn't doing anything independent. He's simply participating in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. And Lord Chaitanya's Leela is finished after 10,000 years. Sorry, that's the schedule. Yeah. Krishna's Leela was finished 125 years. Then he left, and the world was bereft. You know, all they had was the Bhagavatam after that. And Vrindavan became shriveled up. Govardhan shrank. Vrindavan became a jungle. Sorriest. That's the destiny. So the destiny is that Lord Chaitanya's movement will spread for 5,000 years, reach a peak, and then it'll disappear after 10,000 years. 10,000 years is a long time.
Another thing. Yeah, actually, my Prabhupada.
But
yes.
Someone can write. Someone has already written the Prabhupada Lilamrita, but someone can write the, the annals of ISKCON. I
200 years from now, and record it so that even to the end of Kali Yuga they can read about it at least.
Yes. Another question. This is a different actually. I was staying in Bhuvaneswar BVT, so I have seen Prabhupada establish this BVT only for publication of books and give books to ISKCON so that ISKCON can distribute books among the publics. So how this BVT should be, because this is the Prabhupada heart, and how can it be maintained, like whatever the money will come from ISKCON, by that money, by using that money, the BVT should be maintained? Or
yes, and but shouldn't be squandered.
I'm sorry?
That money is Prabhupada's blood.
Okay.
The money that comes in, you know, the assets of ISKCON is Prabhupada's blood, but the blood that goes into the heart is especially crucial. If it's squandered, if there's a leak, if the blood is leaking, then that's a serious problem. We cannot squander one penny of the money that's coming to the BBT. It may be coming from personal donations. You may think, oh, it's coming out of so-and-so's pocket, it's really his money, and we can throw it away. But he's given it to the, whoever it is, has given it as a donation. We are being maintained by personal donations from well-to-do devotees, yes. But still, those money has been donated to the BBT. And the BBT exists just to fulfill the particular purposes that it was founded for. We cannot waste that money. That's one thing, you know, the BBT has to be managed responsibly to fulfill the intended purposes. Money has to be spent. We're not going to be miserly and foolish, you know, penny wise and pound foolish, just not spend any money and therefore accomplish nothing. But we spend money very carefully, not to waste anything, not to spend money on things that don't serve the purpose that it's intended for.
Yeah, sometimes it has been seen, it is also very difficult to manage BVT, like in Bhuvaneswar.
Yes.
I have seen that it's very difficult by using that distribution from, the money which is coming from distribution, by using that money it's very difficult to maintain BVT in Bhuvaneswar.
So that we are getting
more and more job order from, like, for outside work, job order, and so by using that money we are trying to maintain like this BVT, because it's very difficult to
because maintain. Not enough money is coming from the book distribution. Some very intelligent devotees are trying to organize for the BBT special projects division, which accepts donations from well-to-do people, which provides an extra source of income for the BBT for special projects. You know, it doesn't have to be picked one rupee at a time on the street by the sweat of the devotees' brahmacharis' brows, but they have to go out and sell the books, and that only that money is available to the BBT. So, with the intention of arranging to get more money, this special project division is accepting donations and soliciting them and getting them. That's how we're sitting here now, because we're being given money from that special project division, money that was donated by devotees who had the money. So, of course, that can only go so far. We're the only project being supported by that money so far. And someday we may have to be on our own. We're going to have to develop our own fundraising. But the main thing is, what is required for proper management is proper consciousness. When the devotees are serious about doing the service that has been assigned to them, when they have a preaching spirit, so that even though we're sitting at our desks, the purpose of what we're doing is to help save the world. If we really have that pure attitude, then everything will be arranged. Then Prabhupada also made the comment, you just preach, don't worry about collecting money. You just preach and Lakshmi will fly in the window. So if we do our service as for the purpose of saving the world, we'll have no worry about money or any need for material support. Yeah. I never asked anybody for a penny. This project got started without asking for any money. And I didn't go to America to take a job to support myself in Vrindavan. It is all just done on goodwill and unsolicited donations. If you're serious, Krishna will provide. I'm not saying I'm serious. I'm a parasite, and it's the only way to keep me going is to maintain me. Yes.
Yeah. Another thing is, suppose, BVT, especially, I'm asking about bonus work, how it is managed. I've seen in my eyes. So.
Yes.
So, what when I was there, now still is also going there. This type of system, the employees are working there.
Yes.
They are not following the four regulatory principles, and we are being attached with them. So, because of for Prabhupada's mission, so we want to publish books and write proofread like this. So. How we should work with them, like we should preach them, the employees, to follow four regulatory principles or not, and
preach who?
The employees.
You mean paid workers?
Paid workers, yeah. More than 35 employees are working there, they are not following the four regulatory principles.
I guess we have to investigate, what are these workers doing?
Publication of Prabhupada's books, and also they are bringing job orders for publication. Outside work, like from market, like this, to maintain the BVT.
To make money for the BVT.
Yeah.
I see. Well, the main thing is that the devotees who are organizing it, you may have to hire people to do the work. That's a practical consideration. But the devotees who are heading it and organizing it, they should first of all preach to themselves and make sure that they're very Krishna conscious and dedicated. That's the main thing. Paid workers off the street, you may not always be able to get them to follow the regular principles or chant Hare Krishna.
But I have tried many times to do like this, like this, preach them many times.
Please?
Preach to the paid workers.
So maybe, I don't know what kind of people they are. People in Orissa are very pious. But it may be successful, it may not be.
No, actually, Pradaputra Prabhu, who is the authority there, they refused many times to me to not to preach them because they are the paid workers. So
that's getting a little off the topic.
Yeah.
Whether we should preach to the workers because the devotee in charge said don't preach.
What was Prabhupada's mission? Yeah. When the publication will be going on?
Best thing is that the important services be done by the devotees. The devotee is in the kitchen doing volunteer service than have to pay somebody to cook. Better that someone's doing it as a loving service. Of course, if a householder needs maintenance, okay. But we shouldn't have to hire people off the street to cook for Krishna. This is deity worship. The kitchen is an extension of the altar. Should we hire someone to be the vijari? And should we hire someone to publish Prabhupada's books? Better we didn't have to do that. Better the devotees did all their work as volunteers. Then they'd all be following the regular principles and have a good consciousness. It's a practical situation. If you're in a situation where the books have to be published and you have to hire someone, then it's a practical problem. You should preach to everybody. We're supposed to preach to the whole world and not to our own employees? Yeah, you can preach to everybody. But preaching is not to beat someone over the head, but to do it in a way that they'll accept. Okay. Hare Krishna. Sarvagya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I remember, maybe it was Hare Krishna Maharaj, he was speaking about his work in BBT, and he remembered that Srila Prabhupada was encouraged all members of BBT not only to publish books, but to go and distribute these books as well. And he was speaking that at least 1 hour every one member of BBC, they were going to book distribution. And also you spoke about this taste of publishing books, so that you have this preaching spirit, that you understand that these books will make devotee. So and, it's also participation in Radha Krishna's desire. So and at the same time, is it sufficient only to publish books? Can we also go distribute books or preaching? Yes. Can you please share your
I can share my experience. Hare Krishna Maharaj was there at the same time that I was there in the BBT in New York in 1975. And our program was, in 1974, in the New York BBT in Brooklyn, is we'd go to the morning program, have breakfast, and then all the BBT devotees would jump in a van and drive to usually Wall Street. And we'd have a Harinam, and devotees would distribute books to the stockbrokers and others in Wall Street. And Mother Jadarani was always the most vigorous book distributor. We'd go out for an hour, right after breakfast, have Harinam and book distribution, jump back in the van, come back to the BBT, clean up our offices, and get to work. That was the program every day. And then every weekend, the whole New York Temple got in the vans and drove to Rhode Island or someplace to do the drive-in movie theaters and distribute Krishna books. The whole temple, every weekend, 2 days. So that was the program. You know, the BBT kept enthusiastic to do their work, because every day they were engaged in Harinam and in book distribution like that. Or we'd jump on the, walk 2 blocks and jump on the metro, the subway, and distribute Bhakti Godhead magazines on the subway every day.
Does it mean that we also, even been translating books or preaching or publishing books, we have to be engaged in some kind of preaching activity as well? Or it's
it was my original idea that would be part of our program, that we'd have daily preaching. I just don't know how to fit it in. Sweden, 1901.
Yeah, I might take my call. Anyway, we were like 120 Russian, Ukrainian, all Soviet countries translations, all European languages, all translating books, really like 120, 200 a year, no languages for publishing. And they decided to make us into book distributors too, so for December marathon, we were in Sweden. They drove us to various places in Sweden and dropped us over there for 1-2 days to distribute books. I did 2 books in 2 days. Govinda, Madhava and other people, they went even to their countries, to Germany. They did 5-6 books in 1 month, in 2 weeks. And Hare Krishna Maharaj told, you stupid guys, you sit at your desk, do marathon 14 hours a day, translate books, you're not fit for anything else, you just be brahmanas and don't step out of your office. And it was 12-14 hours every day since December. So he told, because we spent so much money just driving around and we sold nothing, just really nothing. And didn't give us space to stand in the cold Swedish, you know, rain there in December. It was no use, no enthusiasm, no nothing. He canceled this in 1991.
Okay, well, this is the Stockholm model and the New York model. In New York, what we did in New York is we did it every day. It was a habit. You got accustomed to it, you just did it. But you know, you went somewhere and came back within an hour. I don't know how we could organize that. You know, run out the Parikar Marg and sell books for 10 minutes. I don't know what to do. Yeah. But it'd be nice if we could do some preaching, if we could go organize some programs in Mathura, do something, even once a week. We're going to Haridev. That's already being done. So, you know, our classes are finished by lunch. After lunch, other things can be organized. It's open. You can take charge of organizing book distribution.
Yes, sir.
That's for Vedic classes, but it could be done like this.
In the vacations, as from the BVD itself, we are given different preaching assignments in different places, especially places which are not well established, which are places trying to establish themselves, like new centers and very few devotees they are trying to preach. So in such places, if we are sent and given preaching, or it need not be like, you know, given as an order.
It can be done on a voluntary basis.
Yeah, voluntary basis.
You know, just like the kamikaze flyers were all volunteers. So we can recruit our own kamikaze volunteers to go out during the vacation and in some small parties, or go somewhere to do some preaching. Maybe travel in a van. I don't know if that's what's better in India, to sit in one place or to travel. I don't know. That can be, we can organize that. You and Bharat Ram can organize this vacation traveling preaching parties. Traveling or sitting in one place, whatever. It's a great idea. Also, there's Saturday. Something can be done on Saturday on a voluntary basis. I agree with them.
One point I forgot to ask. Before Jahnava Devi, we are not worshipping Radharani. So,
I'm sorry, what was the first thing?
The Jahnava Devi, she established the worshipping of Radharani with Krishna the first time. Jahnava Mata.
Jahnava Mata, yes. Oh, before, okay, before we did. Before. Can I correct that? Not that we weren't worshipping Radharani. But there wasn't any visible deity of Radharani in most of the temples. Krishna was there, and we didn't see Radharani. She's there, you know, without her Murti being there. Wherever Krishna is there, Radharani is there. But there wasn't any manifest deity of Radharani. Okay.
Actually, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he says that sun without sunshine, that is no value. Atapa rahita suraj nahi tare mani. Means if someone is worshipping Krishna, not Radharani, he is only worshipping the sun without his sunshine.
Yes, but the Goswamis were only worshipping Krishna without Radharani? They established these deities.
But in Udupi, we see there is only the Krishna deity.
That's a different sampradaya, but Lord Chaitanya's Goswamis worship Radha Krishna. Whether they had only a deity of Krishna, the Murti was not there, but they were worshipping Radha Krishna. You want to criticize that they're not worshipping Radha Krishna? So Jahnava Mata came and put the Murti of Radharani there next to Krishna in several temples. But it's not that the Goswamis who established these temples were not worshipping Radharani.
It means the all Acharya also recommend to worshipping Radharani with Krishna previously.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends it.
But previously Ramanuja Acharya and others.
Oh, previous Acharyas. Yes. This is something introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular. The other Sampradayas did not have the public understanding. It was an intimate thing. Certain devotees were engaged in the service of Radha Krishna personally. Very advanced devotees, but it's not the public, you know, program of the Sampradaya in other Sampradayas. I mean, in Madhva Sampradaya, the Paryaya Swamis are supposed to be, they're thinking of themselves as gopis, right? They're supposed to be gopis, yeah. So, for a few, there's an intimate understanding, but not the public, you know, official worship of the Sampradaya. Even the Bharga Sampradaya, which promotes Radha Krishna very much, that's not the original teachings of Nibbarga. That was introduced after Lord Chaitanya, in imitation, what they're practicing now in the Nibbarga Sampradaya. So Lord Chaitanya introduced this, that publicly, as the official program of the Sampradaya, the worship of Radha and Krishna together.
And Prabhupada says that We are establishing Radha Krishna deity,
yes,
in our temple, but we are worshipping Lord Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan.
No, we're worshipping, no, we're not worshipping Narayan.
Oh.
We're worshipping Radha Krishna, and our worship is done in the style of worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. It's a different thing. The deity in Vrindavan is Radha Shyama Sundar with two sakis, not Narayana with 16, shaktis. It's not Lakshmi Narayan temple. It's Radha Shyama Sundar being worshipped there. But the worship is done carefully with all in reverence and very punctual and clean and no laxity in the name of ecstasy. That is what it means. The worship in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan means to do it very carefully and very, very properly. The devotees in Vrindavan, they can, in the mood of Raja, they can be intimate with Krishna and maybe forget some of the rules and regulations. But the devotees who are following in the mood of Vaikuntha, they have to follow very strictly all the rules. So in our deity worship, we should follow all the rules, just as if we were in Vaikuntha. The devotees who are having the kirtan, they can bathe in the ecstasy of Radha Krishna Prema. But the pujari on the altar, he's got to be careful. He does everything as if he was worshipping Lakshmi Narayan in Vaikuntha. He can't, swoon in ecstasy and fall on the ground when he's supposed to be making an offering. Or decide that Krishna was dancing so late last night, we won't wake him up until 9:30 in the morning. That's not our mood. So it means we're worshipping Radha and Krishna. But we're careful to do it as if we were worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. The same carefulness. And then when we become more advanced in our personal worship, we may take a different mood. But the public worship in the ISKCON temples should always be like that. When you have your own private deities, or you're meditating in your heart, you can take a more intimate mood. But the worship in the ISKCON temples for the public should always be done as if it was worship of Lakshmi Narayan. Means punctual, very clean, very regular, like that. Following Pancharatra rules very carefully, like that. The devotees having the kirtan in front of the deities, they can display their ecstasies. But the pujari has to be very, very, very proper in his worship. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, Bhagiratha Mahaprabhu is not around? What? I wanted to ask him what the program is. Yeah, we can have bhajanas, and if anybody wants to speak anything or read something also. Until when? When are we breaking fast? Work backwards. Not decided? Anyway, I guess we can, Bhagavata can tell us when he comes. But we'll have kirtanas until it's time for Abhishek and then Arti and Prashadam. Sometime. Okay? Shri Radhastami Maha Maha Mahotsav Ki Jai.